Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. Once again, thank you for being here today. It was a good day. It was always a good day when the gospel's given, when people come to church and do what they're supposed to do, when souls are baptized, amen? It's always a good thing. It's a good thing that, amen. Well, you're welcome. Thanks for coming and eating with in the Lord's house today. But Hebrews chapter 2, say amen when you get there. Everybody there? We're going to read down from verses 1 down to verse 9. And it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, stop. Let's not just run over this. The Lord is saying we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. How many things have we heard, honestly? How many messages have you heard? How many readings have you heard? So many times, right, Keith? Jason called me up last night, was looking for titles of messages, and just right by my desk, I looked down, I grabbed the pile, it was piles of messages. I was like, wow, that's a lot of messages. So we've heard a lot of stuff, haven't we, Dave? And God wants us to take heed, really, really to take heed and think about the things we heard, and because he tells us, he said, lest at any time we should let them slip. So what happens if you don't take heed to what you heard? They slip away, and you kind of just forget about them. And everything in the Bible is interesting. Everything in the Bible is, I think, is very cool. Everything in the Bible, not only can I apply it to my life and live the life that I need and want to live, but it also tells me what's going to happen in the future. It tells me about the past. It tells me about my life going on right now. Whatever's going on in your life right now, the Bible will talk about it and explain it. But here it says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. I love this verse. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. He's talking about it first started with Jesus coming on the scene in his ministry, talking, preaching, everything he said. And then what happens is after Jesus resurrected and went up, we had the holy apostles. We had the 12 apostles out with the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, preaching and teaching and laying the foundation of the church in which we are in today. If I would like to think that if Apostle Paul came in here, he'd say, wow, not much has changed from when we had services. You know, maybe a whole lot less people, I don't know. Maybe a lot less singing, maybe a lot shorter services. I think they went a lot longer. Amen? They weren't as busy as we are today, but they were, I'll tell you one thing, they were serious, man. They were serious about church. And it goes on to say in verse 5, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. This is really the message here. It found in verse 5, it says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. He's talking about Christ coming to this earth and preaching the kingdom of God. That's what Christ preached. Everywhere he went, he preached the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's right here. The kingdom of God is here now and before you when Christ was preaching his ministry. And then the apostles came and they were preaching that the Holy Ghost is given and the kingdom of God is here and it's at hand. Anyone can come into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not of this world. Do you understand that? The kingdom of God, we are not in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven right now. The kingdom of God, according to the scriptures, is within us. We have the kingdom of God in us. We have Christ, the hope of our salvation, in us. Someone say amen if you understand that. Amen. So we are subjects of the kingdom that is to come. We are waiting for our kingdom. We are waiting for that which has been prophesied and taught throughout all of history. We're waiting for the kingdom to come. As Jesus said to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will, God's will be done here in this earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the kingdom to come. Someone say amen. You understand that? Okay, so therefore, don't think it's strange when your life doesn't match up in this world. Don't think it's strange when you don't feel in place here, because this isn't our home. We're just passing through. But our kingdom's coming. Do you understand that? And we've been talking about a lot on Wednesday nights and even Sunday school about the rapture of the church and about the tribulation and about the wrath of God being poured out and all these things about the Antichrist and the anti-religion, what's going to happen and the one world religion, all these things we talked a lot about. If you missed it, I hope you get the CDs or whatever on it. But this verse here puts in light something. It says in verse 5 again, look with me, "For unto the angels..." The angels, he says, "has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak?" The kingdom that is to come is our kingdom. It's our Heavenly Father's kingdom. It's Christ's kingdom. And we are his loyal subjects. Someone say amen. We are going to rule and reign with him, but the angels are not. Right now, as we speak, who is the powers in this earth? Who is really, this earth is under subjection to right now? It's not us. Exactly. He is called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the God, little g, of this world. And we know that Satan and his angels, they really are the powers and the principalities and the rulers of wickedness and darkness, of spiritual place, wickedness in high places. We understand that. This is really their kingdom. That's why it is like it is. But someday, Christ is coming back, and he's going to destroy Satan. He's not going to destroy him. He's going to throw him into the pit, bottomless pit. All those devils will be gone. All those temptations will be gone. All the wickedness will be gone. Have you ever been tempted? Amen. That'll be gone. You won't be tempted anymore. That's pretty cool. I can't even imagine a life, no temptations to do evil. No temptations to eat too much. I don't think that's evil. I just think it's not healthy. I think if you can handle it, do it. If you can't handle it, don't do it. When I was young, I ate 5-6 meals a day. I mean, dinners. I could handle it, but now I can't, so I don't. But anyway, the powers to be right now, David, we are not those powers. But the powers that are going to be in the kingdom, that's going to be reversed. And what's happening is that's what it says. The angels will not be in subjection to this world. And it tells us that we are going to be the rulers of this world. What about the angels? You know, when you read Revelation, And you read about the things that are happening during the tribulation, the angels are all involved, aren't they? Angels are everywhere in Scripture. The angels are pouring out the wrath of God. The angels are sending out the call for salvation. The angels are doing everything. And then all of a sudden, when Christ returns to this earth, you don't hear about the angels anymore. We're ruling this world with Jesus Christ. Did you ever think of that? Bet you didn't, did you? Because I never thought of it either, and I think of crazy stuff. But I started looking into this because the Lord led me to it. And like it says, the world is in subjection to the higher powers, which are the angels, both heavenly and fallen angels, because you realize that angels today are so much more authority and power than we have. Amen? Someone say amen. But in the millennium, the roles are going to be reversed. We're going to have more power and authority than they. You know, we must, in this kingdom to come, right now, I'm sorry, in this world, we must be taught daily to live godly. We need teachers, we need the Bible, we need the Holy Spirit, we need so many things to teach us to live godly. Someone say amen. Because if we don't have someone teaching us, or a preacher preaching, or a teacher this, or a parent, or this, or that, we tend to go the other way, amen? But it's not going to be like that in the kingdom. Everyone is going to know what godliness is and what to do and what not to do. But the spiritual things, see, we need to be taught to live godly, but the spiritual things are taught us by God. And only God teaches us the spiritual things and how to live godly. How can anything other than God teach you to live godly? Come on. How can anything teach you to live godly unless God does the teaching, or something that is godly do the teaching? And that's the same thing with us. How can we teach anybody about anything unless we're godly? How can we teach God, anyone in this world, about God unless we have a form of godliness? And the truth of the matter is it's so important, and I'm going to get to my point hopefully soon. But in the world to come, it is us who will rule. In the millennium, the reign of King Jesus, there's not going to be any excuses about, oh, I didn't know. Or, I didn't mean to do that. Or, oh, the devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying? That old Flip Wilson one, the devil made me do it. You know, in all reality, the devil's not making you do it, but something's making you do it. temptation and sin is in the world. Some, you know what I mean? Sin is here and it's in you. And because sin is in you, that sin is always wants what it wants, and you got to battle it. You got to fight it. And it's, but just think about it, in the millennium, that's going to be gone. That won't even be there anymore. Amen. We will be ruling and reigning with Christ. We will be even reigning over the angels. Where do I find that? I turn with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Say amen when you're there. Good. I hear a couple pages. I'll wait. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6, 3 says this. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? It amazes me how he kind of put that, friend. Because he made it sound like, hey, dummies, don't you know that? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? He says, no, you're not. Like, almost like it's so common knowledge. And I read that. And I'm like, you know what? It's really not common knowledge. At least not now in today's society. Someone told me today that they said, I'm glad you were preaching about that. Oh, it was Todd about Sunday school message on the radio. He said, I must have missed that one because people just aren't preaching about it. And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of things people aren't preaching about. But I'll tell you what I've never heard about. Doesn't mean it's not being taught somewhere. But I've never heard about us ruling angels in the millennial kingdom. Have you ever heard about it? Anyone ever? You know, I mean, not that verse. I'm not talking about hearing that verse. I've heard that verse. I mean, really talked about it. And the truth of the matter is, the way he says it is, don't you know? What's the matter with you guys? You don't know this? And so as a pastor that wants to teach the word of God, I think we should know a little bit more about it. And he says, read it with me again. Verse 3, know you not that we shall judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? What he's saying is we need to start really picking up our act here on this world. We need to start being able to judge righteously here in our own life. We need, I mean, I'm serious. In all reality, we're weak. We're so weak. We really are. We struggle over this. We struggle over that. Little temptation, you know, one of the slightest little temptation. So many people give into it. You know how it is. It's like we're not the masters of our domain. You know, just think about it. An angel right now, an angel. Think of the most powerful angel in the world. We don't even know who that is. But think of Michael the Archangel. You know, he cannot sin. Because if he did, he'd no longer be a holy angel. And so therefore, he has got to train himself to obey. He has to train himself as a soldier of the Lord, the Most High God, Michael, the prince of the heavenly host of God. He's got to, as a good soldier, he's got to obey, doesn't he? Whatever God says to do, he's got to do it. And God has his total trust in him, knowing that Michael is going to do what I tell him to do. But yet... Do angels sin? Can angels sin? Can angels still fall today like they did in the beginning? The answer is yes, they can. And so what is stopping an angel to fall? All these questions are kind of, I think they're good questions, but we will be ruling and reigning with Christ, and we'll be ruling over the angels. And you know what? The angels that sinned, how many people know that angels sinned? Well, you know what happened to them as soon as they sinned? They were judged. Not as soon as, but they got judged. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Angels got judged in 2 Peter. Say amen when you're there. Good. Guys are fast. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at me in verse 4. It says here in 2 Peter 2, 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world. See, spared not the old world. This stuff is very, very important to the teachings of the millennial and the teachings of knowing what God is about and knowing. See, I don't know about you, but do you know God really intimately? And the truth is, not really. We only know what we can know. But I want to know God more. I want to understand him more. I want to know my Father more, don't you? And the only way you know that is to learn what he did, how he did it, why he did it, what he reacts to. And here we see that the angels that sinned were cast down into hell back before the flood. It says he spared not the old world in verse 5, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world and ungodliness. Now I just want you to know that they were judged there. Look in Jude chapter 1. Just go over a couple pages. Just keep going. Right past 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You'll see Jude. Look in verse 6 with me. Are you there? What was Peter talking about? He's talking about exactly right here, what Jude explains. It says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Read it again with me. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, that means they didn't keep the estate that they were in. And it says, but they left their own habitation. That means where they lived. That means the state they're in is the body that they had. And the habitation is where they dwelt, where they lived. And so therefore, they didn't keep their first estate. So their own body, they changed. They were no longer an angel form. And they left heaven. And they left the spiritual realm. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 about the sons of God, that they saw the daughters of men, and we all read all that, and you can read it for yourself. You don't even need me to tell you what it is. Just read it, and you'll know exactly what it is. Don't listen to commentaries. Don't listen to this person, that person. The Bible is its best commentary. Amen? Yes. The Bible says the sons of God are the angels. And it says, and they saw the daughters of men, and they came out, and they chose them all that they wanted, and they started to mingle the race of between angels and human beings. The reason they did all this, you got to ask yourself, why? Why would they do that? All that is because the angels themselves know that that's going to happen anyway, sooner or later. Because they were promised that. Where do I find that at? Where do I find all that, this stuff at? I'll tell you right now where I find it. I find it in the Bible. But these angels were judged. These angels that sinned were judged. Someone say amen. And they're in chains of darkness, reserved until their great day. What about the angels that don't sin? What happens to them during the millennium? What happens to all the angels that are here now and have more power than us and are really ruling this world in a sense? They have power. And then what happens when Christ's kingdom comes down? Where's the angels? And it's a good question, because you won't find them in Scripture anymore. And the reason being is because the Bible tells us that we're going to judge angels. How do we judge angels? If we're ruling and reigning, that means someone has to be under us. You know what I'm saying? Greg, say you're one of the Jews or those that remain, or you're an angel. And we're in the millennial reign of Christ. And I have rule over Glen Olden. That's all I get. And you live in Glen Olden, so I have judged you. That means, what do I judge about? I've talked about this briefly before. What in the world is judging for? Judging is to tell you what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right. Judging is to tell you not to do this or to do this. You know what? You go before a judge only when there's trouble. You know what I mean? Only when something needs to be taken care of. You know, these two little ones are fighting, and you bring them to the judge and say, Judge, Alex says this, and Tatiana says this, and I got to judge between them. But you know what angels don't know anything about? They don't know anything about sinning. The holy angels have never sinned. They don't know about sin. They don't know about temptation. They don't know about living a human life. And I believe this with all my heart, and I can prove this. I just won't have all the time to go through all of it tonight. But how are we going to judge angels? I'll tell you how we're going to judge angels, because they're going to be living on this planet. Because I believe when Jesus said that which is first shall be last, and that which is last shall be first, I believe that the angels got a gospel just like we did. I believe as the angels, they had to live, in a sense, by faith in the word of God, just like we do. God promised the angels something before we were around. And guess what? When we came, you know what it says in the book of Hebrews? If you would turn back there with me. Before you do, I just want to show you something. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, there's a verse that's sprinkled around a little bit. Say amen if you're there. Good. Look with me in verse 21, please. Verse 21 says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the what? Elect angels. You see, there are angels that are elected, just like people teach about election for human beings. You see, the Bible says that before the foundations of the world, God chose that he was going to have a kingdom. Before the foundations of the world, God chose in his mind, I'm going to have a people. I'm going to have a kingdom of my own. And therefore, how did God go about doing it for us? We know through the Garden of Eden, and we know through Adam and Eve, and we know through the serpent and the subtlety and the sin and this, and then God sending the law to do this, and then God sending his son to redeem those that are under the curse of the law. And we know that being born again, correct? Isn't that what we are? Being born again, we are now children of the Most High God. Amen. Someone say amen. That was because that was preordained to happen before the foundations of the earth. God doesn't elect someone to go to heaven and elect someone to go to hell, as the Calvinists teach. God has elected to have a people. And he says, guess what? Do you want to be part of my people? Do you want to be part of my people? You know, that's what whosoever will. Whoever wants to be with God can be with God. And that's how great God is, because we're all human beings. And Jesus died for all human beings. And so therefore, all human beings have redemption. All human beings have the blood of Christ. All human beings are welcome into the kingdom of God, but we do know that not all human beings are going to go. Amen? Why? Because there's a thing called free will. A thing called free will. Choice. And don't ever take choice out of the picture and the equation between God and human beings. You have a choice. You had a choice today of coming to church tonight. You chose to come. Others didn't. You had a choice today to stay for the second service. You chose to stay, others didn't. You had a choice to pray tomorrow. Some will, some won't. You have a choice to read your Bible more tomorrow than you did the days before because you heard the voice of God. You have a choice to go out soul winning. You have a choice to do what God tells us to do every day of every hour, don't we, Nancy? You choose. God doesn't make you do it. Just like he doesn't make the angels do stuff. It's the same thing. How come the angels fell in the beginning? Because they were tempted. Because they were told and given the gospel, not like the gospel of us, like Jesus Christ had to die for us. But let me ask you a question. I just want to do this quickly. In the book of Revelation, three different times, John is speaking and he says, there was an angel speaking to me. Anybody ever hear that in the Bible? Yes? Also, he says in verse 17, 19, and 22, chapters, I mean, he says the same thing, Dave. He says, and this angel showed me all this stuff. And this angel showed me this and showed me that. And then three different places in chapter 17, chapter 19, and 22, John says, I fell down at the feet of this angel to worship him. What did the angel say? Do it not. Why? For I am of thy fellow servant. I am of thy brethren, the prophets, and those that believe or trust in Jesus Christ. That was an angel. It is the neatest thing. When you read it, you're like, okay. Because when I read it, I was like, okay, well, how can he be part of the brethren? How can he be a follower of Jesus Christ? How can he be redeemed like Jesus Christ? And the answer is it's just, now I'm not teaching this as fact. I'm just telling you something that's really cool. And he says, you should know. Don't you know? Like I said, so I'm like, no, I didn't know. So I want to know. My question is this. In the millennial, where's the angels at? If we're ruling and judging over them, where are they? I'm here to tell you, the angels were given. Do you think that only us is given a promise? Do you think the angels were given a promise? Angels were given a promise too. God's always promising people. It's always about his word, isn't it? And that's why Jesus, it says, I don't know if I put this down or not. Oh yeah, 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Look with me in verse 19, please. 3:19. Great date. Thank you. My wife's laughing. It's my birthday. She knows. It says in 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. You know who they were? Well, God tells us. Which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Here I'm here to tell you that before what happened, all right, think about it. Look back in human history from the time of Adam and Eve. What would you say was the most greatest catastrophe that ever happened on planet Earth? The flood, Noah. You got the movies out there, Noah, all over. I heard it's so absolutely bizarre, crazy. It stinks because I like Russell Crowe. You know, Gladiator. I'm a man. I like that movie. And I like Noah. And I'm like, finally, I get to watch Noah, like, you know, cool effects and stuff. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm a guy. I'm a little kid. You know, I'm like, you know, when monsters come on, I want to see them. I told you that before. I'm confessing my faults before you. The Bible tells me to do that. And so I'm immature when it comes to that. I want to, but the truth of the matter is I'm not going to go see, pay my money to go see Noah because I read all about it. And you can do whatever you want. Listen, I care less what you do. I mean, I do care. But I'm not telling you to go see a movie or not go see me. I would definitely tell you to not go see a movie if I knew the movie was bad. This movie's bad. When it comes to being accurate with the Bible, it adds all kinds of goofy stuff, tells you crazy stuff, does this, doesn't even mention God through the whole movie. That's pretty sad. The greatest catastrophe that's ever taken place on planet Earth was the flood. God created everything, and he said, it is good. It is very good. And then a couple chapters later, I'm destroying it all. What? What happened that made God wipe out every living flesh of everything? It was because the angels fell, and the angels left the first estate. Because the angels were had a liar and a deceiver called Satan, Lucifer. They knew him, and he is the father of lies, and he lied to them, and he had them to try to take on forms, to take over, to be the kingdom which God promised would come. That's why Jesus went and preached to these angels and spirits in darkness and chains. It's amazing when you think about it. Why in the world would Jesus go and preach? What do you got to preach about? You preach the message that God has already given. You preach the good news. And you know what the good news to an angel is? Let me read another verse for you. Let me try to give you all the information if I can. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 1. Say amen when you're there. Look at me in verse 12. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Do you see that? It's talking about the gospel. That the angels, which things the angels desire to look into. What is it about the gospel that is so absolutely mind-blowing amazing? Is it that just God loves you? Is that so mind-blowing amazing? No. People understand God loved them. Is it so mind-blowing amazing that God would be born of a virgin? That's kind of amazing. Is it so mind-blowing amazing that this virgin-born man, Jesus Christ, would walk on the earth? If God, see, it was said and prophesied in Isaiah that he would do that. Behold, I show you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He shall call his name, and it tells you his name. See, so it wasn't that great of a, whoa, where'd this come from? It was prophesied that the Messiah was going to come. And the Messiah came, and the Messiah walked on earth. And if he is the Messiah, he can do all those miracles that he said he could do, and he did do, right? So all that stuff isn't... The craziness is that he would die, that God's son would die. That's kind of crazy, right? Now, how does that apply to you that makes it crazy about you? Let me ask you a question, Rich. For you to be saved and redeemed from hell, is that absolutely mind-blowingly crazy? It is to a point. Because the truth of the matter is, if God really loves you, he doesn't want you to go to hell, does he? Of course not. He did everything he can to save you. So it's really not that crazy that God doesn't want you to hell. It's not that crazy that God will redeem you and save you so you don't have to burn forever. Amen? You know what I mean? We have a loving, benevolent God. He doesn't want anyone to die. He doesn't want anyone to... So it's not insane that God would save us from hell. What is bizarre beyond my comprehension is that I'm going to be like him. That blows my mind. I can see God saving me. I needed saving. Ah, oh, it's pathetic. I mean, I could just see God looking down and go, oy vey. That guy's nuts. Look at him, that poor, someone go down there and help him. I could see God saving me. I really can. What I can't see is that poor guy, that knucklehead, I'm going to create in him. He's going to be just like me. The Bible says that the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, daughters of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be just like Jesus Christ in the body that Jesus has, ruling and reigning over angels, ruling and reigning all the people that are on this earth, ruling and reigning. Doesn't that blow your mind that we're going to be like God? Well, can you imagine being an angel? and you're with God all this time, and you're watching us knuckleheads? I mean, seriously, think about it. You're an angel, a holy angel, and you see God becoming one of us, living like us. We spit in his face. We crucify him. We beat him. We call him names. We don't believe in him. We nail him to a cross. And the angels have got to sit there and watch, go, can I kill them? You know what I mean? This is their God. This is their Father. And then he says, no, I'm going to die for them and redeem them. And the angels go, okay. You know, and then you watch the gospel being spread and people spitting on it and stamping underfoot and not caring. How do you think the angels feel about that? Especially what it says they desire to look into it because they've been promised that they're going to get a chance to be redeemed, a chance to be like us. Because in all reality, an angel, God bless you, the only thing an angel really wants is to be like their Father, to be like God, just like we want. What do you want? What do you want more than anything in the world? It ought to be to please your Father. It ought to be to love God with all your heart, to be like God. God gave me a promise that I'm going to be like him. That is amazing to me. And I can imagine how amazing it must be to angels. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 2 that they are sent to be ministering spirits for us. They minister to us. They fight our battles that we don't see. They take care of us. They watch us. How many people should have been dead at so many different times in their life? God probably sent an angel to say, go help them. The Bible says we all have ministering spirits. We have angels taking care of us, ministering to us, watching over us, protecting us, Dave, doing things for us. And then that angel knows if I'm obedient to the Father, someday, think about it. If you were, I'm going to finish because we're out of time. If you were Lucifer, the greatest angel that ever lived, if you were at the time he wasn't the devil, he was Lucifer. He was the angel of light. He had pipes coming out of him, and he played music in heaven, and he was the greatest of all angels ever created. He was unbelievable in power and majesty and beauty. And then all of a sudden, can you imagine, he's with his Father, and because the Bible says in Isaiah that he was perfect at one time. There was nothing bad found in him. He was perfect. So you got this perfect angel loving his Father perfectly, and then he's hearing the story about his Father. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make man in our own image, in our likeness. And I'm going to give them dominion. And I'm going to give them power. And you know what? They're going to sin and they're going to die, but they're going to be just like us because they're going to know both good and evil. And I'm going to create in them something new. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to give them eternal life. And I'm going to literally, and guess what? You are going to serve them. I wouldn't go over with good for a couple prideful angels, which there wasn't any at the time. But I understand where the devil knew all the stuff that was happening. And that's why when all these things were foretold. That's why when the angels left heaven and left not their first estate and kept not their first estate in their own habitation, and they took on bodies, the Bible says, not me. And it says, and what they did is they tried to populate the world at the time. They tried to first of all, to stop the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 that says that out of the seed of the woman is going to come a man, he's going to destroy Satan. But the thing was, is they were trying to start something way before its time. And I'm here to tell you that in the millennial, we are going to rule and reign. Here, right now, we don't get to rule and reign much. You know what God does? God gives us authority over yourself. You can rule and reign yourself. You can be king of your own self, king of your body, king of your mind. You can decide what to eat, what not to eat. You can decide where to go, where not to go. You can decide every single thing God gives you. And at the end of your life, because of those decisions, if you obey God, God's going to give you glory. Man, we talked about that. But you know what he's going to give us that I think is the greatest of all the things? He's going to give us a body just like his, a spirit like his, a mind like his. We're going to be just like him. That blows me away because I don't deserve that. I don't deserve for Christ to die for me. I know I don't deserve for him to take the cross. I know that. Oh, boy, do I know that. But a little bit of my mind can see why God doesn't want me to go to hell, because he loves me. I understand that. But what I can't understand, Keith, is that he would give me everything. And he's going to give you everything. Did he or did he not give Jesus, his son, everything? Didn't he or did he not? He gave Jesus everything. Everything that God is, he gave it all on his son. So that Jesus can be our example to tell us that if we obey him and follow him now, when the time comes, Jesus, our God, our King, our Lord, is going to give unto us just like his Father gave unto him. Do you understand that? Well, here we're going to rule and reign. And I don't know how to actually end this. I'm going to finish timing. If you would, please come up. But I'm here to tell you that if you would look again with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 12, we read, look in verse 13, he says, wherefore? When he talks about, at the end of that, he says, which things the angels desire to look into. All the angels that are in heaven, all the holy angels that are more powerful than us, they have, you know, they see God. You know what they want? They want what we got. They want what we have. And yet we treat it like it's nothing. We treat our salvation literally like it's nothing. Let's say, you know what I'm saying? God died for us. He gave us everything. He gave us his blood. And we treat it sometimes like it's no big deal. We don't honor him in all we have. We don't pray to him like we should. We don't study and read our Bible like we should. We don't witness like we should. You know what I mean? We're really weak when it comes to all this stuff. I can imagine the angels going, what is wrong with them people? If I had what they got, you know what I mean? I could just imagine. And that's why it says that one day we're going to rule the angels. So I don't know actually how to end this, but keep reading where it says in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, look what it says, so be ye holy. In what? In all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy. For I am holy. Is that too much to ask? You might say, well, why do I have to be holy? Why do I have to be this? Because you don't understand what the gift has been given us. We need to understand how precious, how wonderful, how unbelievable this gift is. Can I hear an amen on that? And we need to take care of that gift like it's the greatest gift on the world, because it is. Amen. As Tamron plays, let's please stand to our feet. And I just want everyone now, before we go home, before we start our work week, this old-fashioned altar is open for those that want to come and just bow before the Lord and thank him for the gift that he's given us. There's one and two and three coming. People are coming all over. That's a good thing, to bow and humble ourselves before the Lord. Because, you know, angels have to humble themselves every day and have to obey the Father in taking care of us. Imagine the things they see, how we treat our salvation. How we treat this great gift of eternal life. Oh my goodness, it's pathetic sometimes, isn't it? What I just want through this message is to realize the great, great promises that God has given us. And just to be thankful, amen? To be grateful and to realize the gift that he's done for us. He didn't do it for the angels. He did it for us. They deserve it to be done for them. We don't. But you know what? They care about us. God cares about us. And he wants us to understand through this scripture. That's why he says, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? So let's be holy. Amen. If you get anything out of this, let's get the message. Be holy, for our God is holy. Be holy in what? In all manner of conversation. That means when you go to school, when you drive in your car, when you're home watching television, when you're talking to people, when you're shopping. Whatever it is you do, be holy. Can I say amen to that? Let's just pray and just worship our God and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and showed us the face of God, the hands of God, the feet of God, the heart of God. He showed us that he cares about us so much and that he loves us so much. And he wants us to enjoy our salvation. And he wants the world to see him through us. And they can't do it if we're not holy. So I pray, God, help us. Holy Spirit of God, fill our hearts today that we may be holy in our mind and our thoughts, holy in our actions, holy in our deeds. Help us to love like only you can love. Help us to forgive. Help us to have mercy. Help us to be kind and tenderhearted one to another. Help us to be faithful to you in all things. Help us, Lord, to pray like we ought to pray. And we just pray that you would take over our lives, that you would literally take over our minds, take over our hearts, take over our spirits, because we have a will, Lord, and we submit our wills to you. We will obey you in all things you do, and we thank you for our church. We thank you for the faithful, faithful people of God. that come faithfully to every service and are reading their Bibles and learning and growing and can reach out to a lost and dying world and give them the greatest gift ever known, salvation. Father, thank you so much for today, for the message this morning and the good response. Thank you for the food. Thank you for our missionary friend, Tiffany. I just pray, Lord God, would you bless us now with your presence, with your spirit go before us, get us home safe, and let us just have love in our hearts and kindness and mercy and just be grateful of what you've done for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.